In the beginning, Theocast happened for one basic reason. A friend and church member was sitting with the staff one evening listening to us work through some nuanced theological topic. The conversation was, as always, enlightening on numbers of levels. Once it winded down and we were exiting the space, our friend said, "There has to be a way the rest of us can be exposed to this level of conversation. This isn't fair." That was amazing. You guys don't need to keep this to yourself. The four of us, John, Jeremy, Ryan, and Byron, were only doing what we do. We had not considered that others might enjoy being invited here. Truth is, our conversations are precious to us personally. We've sat for hours, countless times, talking about Jesus. Sometimes we end in tears. Sometimes our voices are raised. Always there is laughter. Always there are more questions raised than answered. Our office space is set up with a view to creativity and thoughtfulness. There's this central area with chairs and a floor-to-ceiling custom board for sharing ideas. This space is a vortex for these moments. Rarely do we pass through it without being pulled into the transcendent. "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And then suddenly all of our minds engage. Theocast is an invitation for the layman to join the conversation, to listen to flawed but sincere human beings with enough knowledge to be dangerous, wrestle through the most profound truths known to man. Every week, the four of us lend our voices to a conversation about a given topic. One of the secrets of our podcast's success, relative as it is the chemistry and love that exists among the four of us. We're dear friends, and it shows. This allows the voices and perspectives of each to shape the conversation. The more of us there are sitting around looking at Jesus, the more things we'll be able to see than if it was just one of us. I'm always astounded at what the other guys see that I didn't. Always. I'm always grateful for their voices. We've each etched out our own space on the podcast. We all respect each other's space. Our listeners have tuned their ears to the four of us. This book is written with those voices in mind. As you read, you'll hear each of us in the same way you would around the table in their studio. The book moves like one of our shows does, from voice to voice. You'll see this as you move from chapter to chapter. So if you don't listen to our podcast and wonder why each chapter sounds so, now you know. As far as style is concerned, there's one other thing you'll notice. At certain points, words and concepts are used without any background or footnote. In this sense, the writing is placed a little higher up on the shelf. You have to reach to get it, and this is intentional. We need to stretch ourselves theologically in order to catch the vision of the reformers and what they were saying. As we write, we are not thinking, "How can I lower this idea down to the reader?" We are thinking, "How can I elevate the reader up to this idea?" And there's a difference. The former follows the contemporary trend of ease in thinking, also known as convenience. The latter follows a more rigorous manner of learning, also known as thinking. You might need to Google some things you come across, or maybe not. That's a good thing. When I was in seminary, I developed a research habit. As I sat and listened to each professor, I made note of every concept, resource, author, or controversy I was unfamiliar with. In the back of each syllabus, I had three or four blank pieces of paper where I wrote them all down. Immediately following class, every day, I'd descend to the library and start filling in the blanks of my understanding. I would fall down these rabbit holes of discovery. That was one of the more beneficial exercises of my education. Basically, we're inviting you to the same experience. If it does not immediately register, go searching for it. You will not regret it.